A nice turnout here for our meeting.
Oh, good. Is there a lot going on? you have a lot of big stuff on the agenda today, Tony.
I know.
Tony does.
Tony does. Yeah, he's got a lot of investment. I get to
sore shoulders
money
here, carrying this workload.
Yeah. And Nehru. Well, you're up for it.
And the Detroit Lions.
That's right.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
It's been difficult concentrating with all the success that America's team, the Detroit Lions, have had over the last few weeks.
Detroit.
All right. We'll open the meeting. It is 10 a.m., Wednesday, October 12th, 2011. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission, and we're in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol in Bismarck. We have our regular Wednesday meeting. For the record, this is Tony Clark, Commission Chairman. I'd like to welcome everyone today. Joining me today is Commissioner Brian Kalk and Commissioner Kevin Kramer. Any welcoming comments from my fellow commissioners?
I guess for me, just good morning and welcome. In addition to the Lions being 5-0, the Bison are as well 5-0, just for the update.
Very good.
Ditto. Congratulations. All the good teams.
And to the Vikings.
Some of us are grieving.
With that, we do have some items in consent.
Move passage.
Move past.
Second.
Second.
We got it twice.
All in favor?
Aye.
Esther, take your pick on who made the motion. Moving to items in my portfolio, and I think all the items are in my portfolio today. I guess the purpose of this meeting is to disabuse any notions that folks might have that the energy industry is slowing down in North Dakota. We have a number of siting applications and letters of intent that we'll be taking care of this morning. TC1, I move the commission deem the application complete, conditioned on receiving final turbine locations at least 1 week prior to hearing, and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the application of Meadowlark Wind 1, LLC, for a certificate of site compatibility to authorize construction of a proposed 102-megawatt wind energy conversion facility in McHenry County, North Dakota, case number PU-11-69.
Second.
We'll be setting a hearing for Velva in this particular case. The public hearing is scheduled for December 15th of this year at 10:30 a.m. Central Time in the Verendry Electric Cooperative Headquarters Building, 615 Highway 52, Velva, North Dakota. This particular project is indicated as a proposed 102-megawatt wind conversion facility that we've already received a letter of intent for. The application is complete, and the applicant will be filing a final turbine location design sometime at least a week prior to the commission hearing, so the public can study that and see the final layout, as well as some other studies that will be required to be filed before the hearing. The location of this is basically the very far southwest corner of McHenry County. It hugs the Ward and McLean County lines. It's straight south of Velva, and is, as I said, bounded by the other two county lines.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 TC2, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, issuing certificate of site compatibility for energy conversion facility number 25 to Minnesota Power, an operating division of Elite, Inc., to construct a proposed 105-megawatt Bison 3 wind project in Morton and Oliver counties of North Dakota, case number PU-11-162.
Second.
Well, this is Bison 3, which follows up on Bison 1 and 2. This project, which is in the same general location as the other two projects being developed by Minnesota Power, will have a nameplate generating capacity of 105 megawatts, which consists of 35 3.0-megawatt turbines, which is similar to those that have been used in Bison 2. These are on the larger size of turbines that are used in the utility industry today. The 3.0-megawatt turbines are somewhere in the neighborhood of about 425 or maybe a little bit more feet when you measure the base to the turbine tip fully extended. To give you an example, the Capitol, I think, is about 240 feet. So these are significant-sized turbines. The construction of the Bison 3 wind project is expected to take about 14 months. They've indicated that they'd like to begin sometime this fall after receiving this permit that we're passing through today. And so preliminary roadwork, things like that, this fall with major construction planned for next year. The estimated construction cost is $157 million. Of course, the commercial operation is scheduled to begin in late 2012, coincides with needing to have that in commercial operation before the expiration of the production tax credit. In most respects, fairly straightforward, very similar to the other Bison 1 and 2. Did not have any outstanding concerns with regard to cultural resources, wetlands, wildlife. Some of the other measures we take a look at, of course, are how close it is to occupied residents. The closest occupied residence is approximately 1,600 feet away, which is beyond what we've usually used as a rule of thumb for a minimum setback. The decibels and as far as sound and shadow flicker, both are well under standards that the commission has usually used as well. So everything looks to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You're going to see a number of applications that deal with the Morton and Oliver County areas on this particular agenda. What you see is really an energy corridor, an energy center that's being set up in that part of the state, and a lot of it is related. It's related to a few things. One, the very good wind resource that exists in central North Dakota. Two, the transmission line infrastructure is fairly good in central North Dakota. So where you have transmission and you have capacity, you have some ability to export that power. And then three, which is related to transmission, is you have that existing DC line, which Minnesota Power is going to be using increasingly over the next decade or so for wind power, and that's enabling a number of projects to come online, and we'll talk about some of these throughout the next motions. TC3, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to 30 days, and assess a filing fee of $40,500 due upon filing an application in case number PU-11-561, Oliver Wind 3 LLC's proposed 48-megawatt wind energy conversion facility in Morton County, North Dakota.
Second.
This particular project would consist of up to 48 megawatts and would interconnect and deliver power into the Midwest ISO system. The project itself is proposed to be constructed on up to 9 square miles of leased private property, and it's approximately 12 miles south of Center. The project would, as I indicated, consist of up to 30 wind turbines as well as met towers and the access roads and collection lines, things like that that are part of these projects, and would contribute 48 megawatts of power to the wind. NextEra Energy estimates that the cost of constructing this project is approximately $81 million, and it's expected to begin, or they'd like to begin, construction on June 1st of next year, 2012, with completion, of course, by the end of next year, December 31st, 2012.
The only thing I would add to this project is I believe this is the first one that falls underneath the new siting threshold at 48 megawatts. So this is directly the first one we see since the legislature changed the law. And ironically enough, later on today in our meeting in the admin portion of our discussion, we're going to have a discussion with Lake Region College about they're trying to site one turbine at 1.5 megawatts. We're going to have some discussion with them. So we're starting to see some of the changes in the legislative, the change in statute.
It's also a good example. It's illustrative of why the legislature probably did change the law, which is here you have one that's a little bit under 50 megawatts, but is part of an area of the state that's becoming heavily developed, and so there really would be no reason why you'd cite other turbines within that same area, but not this particular one, because you have to address issues potentially of cumulative impact. So that's, I think, a good example of why the legislature did what it did.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC4, I move the commission acknowledge letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between the filing letter of intent and citing application to 30 days, and assess a filing fee of $50,000 due upon filing of an application in case number PU 2015-11-620, Minnesota Power's proposed 230 kV transmission line and associated facilities in Mercer, Morton, and Oliver counties of North Dakota.
Second.
This proposed 230 kV transmission line will serve as a generator outlet for potential wind projects in the future by Elite's newly created subsidiary, which is called Elite Clean Energy, in Oliver, Morton, and Mercer counties, as well as any other entities subject to Federal Energy Regulatory Commission transmission open access requirements. What that means is by building this line, there'll be an opportunity for other generators to interconnect with the line on a non-discriminatory basis. Specifically, Minnesota Power is proposing to request PSC approval for the transmission line, which will be located in and along approximately an 11-mile corridor that will interconnect a new substation in Mercer County and the Bison Wind Project substation. The Bison Wind Project substation, of course, is the one that interconnects with the DC line that Minnesota Power owns, so that wind energy projects and other potential customers could utilize that line to deliver power to the AC grid terminating in northeast Minnesota. So here again, it's further development of this particular area of the state as an energy center.
All in favor?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this project sort of fills in the missing puzzle piece on what was going to happen to all that excess capacity on the DC line once the... Assuming that at some point the 345 kV line gets built for Minn Kota Power, because clearly that DC line, which has about enough capacity for about 550 megawatts, is going to have a lot of space on it. So glad to see this type of investment.
And if you total up the amount of development in the three Bison projects, I think we're just under 300 megawatts. So clearly there is excess capacity that will eventually become available. Minnesota Power indicated that it's over a stepped process that capacity will become available as, assuming again that the center line gets built, that capacity will be freed up over time.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC 5, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shortened the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing application to 60 days, and assess a filing fee of $28,300 due upon filing of an application in case number PU-11-631, Montana Dakota Utility Company's proposed 88-megawatt simple-cycle combustion turbine in Morton County, North Dakota.
Second.
There's a lot of property tax valuation that's going to be added in Morton County. It just occurred to me over the next few years. A property tax base, I guess. We've heard a bit about this project in the past because we have some outstanding cases related to certificates of public convenience and necessity and the advanced determination of prudence with regard to this. But this is the proposed 88-megawatt gas plant that MDU is proposing for a building adjacent to the existing Heskett station. This is the siting application for it, and it does need to be a sited project. The MDU is indicating in their siting application that they would like to commence construction of the project in April of 2013 with a commercial operation date of March 1st of 2015. And the total estimated cost of this gas plant, including AFUDC, which is allowance for funds used during construction, is $56.6 million.
All in favor?
Aye.
Finally, TC-6. I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing application to 15 days, and assess a filing fee of $82,500 due upon filing of an application in case number PU-11-646, Wilton Wind 4 LLC's proposed 99-megawatt wind energy center in Burley County, North Dakota.
Second.
This certificate, if ultimately passed by the commission, would authorize the construction of Wilton Wind 4. The project would have, as I indicated, approximately 99 megawatts of capacity and would interconnect, in this case, with WAPA, with Western Area Power Administration System. The proposed project would be constructed on up to 18 square miles of leased private property and it's approximately 8 miles southeast of Wilton. This project would consist of up to 62 wind turbine generators, as well as Met Towers, access road, and underground collection facilities. And the estimated cost of the proposed project is approximately $165 million.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that ends the items in my portfolio. That also ends the items.
I think Kevin has one.
Kevin, you get one added? Okay.
I do have one. First of all, before I forget, I would authorize Esther to sign my name to any orders today. And KC1, I move the commission execute a contract with Bass Robbins Excavating and Dirt Works, LLC, in the amount of $170,000 for filling underground mine sinkholes at numerous locations in western North Dakota.
Second.
The AML division prepared an invitation for bids for a number of sinkhole projects in late August. It involves sinkholes, obviously from abandoned underground mines at 10 locations in the western part of the state, but also a contingency item for sinkhole filling at up to 5 additional sites. As you know, we had an abnormally high number of calls this year from landowners about new sinkholes that developed. And so the bid opening was scheduled for September 9th, and no bids were received by that date. So the solicitation for bids at procurement was amended to extend the deadline bidding for another week. We did receive 2 bids, and they were open on September 16th. One from Bassaraba for the $170,000 that we're acting on today, and then Unlimited Excavating Inc. out of Washburn issued a bid of $188,000. Now, both bids were higher than staff expected, but given the fact that we had none at the initial deadline and the fact that a lot of these companies have been busy with flood relief efforts and flood fighting efforts, it's probably not surprising that that the cost and the availability is impacted the economy somewhat. A notice of intent was awarded to award a contract to Bassaraba on September 16th. Unlimited Excavating did not appeal the intent to award, and the contract was sent to Bassaraba for signing on September 28th. They did sign the contract and is prepared for execution based on this vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good.
And it's my items.
With that, upcoming meetings, our next regularly scheduled meeting is Wednesday, October 26th, 2 weeks from today at 10 a.m. A couple of other formal hearings worth noting. On Tuesday, October 18th, next Tuesday, starting at 8:30 a.m., we have a hearing on the settlement that's been proposed in the XL Northern States Power Company 2011 and 2012 electric rate increase applications. And prior to the settlement being filed, that was going to be the beginning of the full hearing. I would anticipate that being it's a settlement hearing, it will probably be done within the day. Tuesday, October 25th, the commission will be in Watford City for the Bakken Link Pipeline LLC crude oil pipeline Williams to Billings County siting application beginning at 9 a.m. And October 26th, the same day as our next regular meeting, we have at 1:30 a formal hearing on Otter Tail Power Company and Northern States Power Company's application for advanced determination of prudence in the CapEx 2020 group application. And there is also a settlement in that case that the commission will be hearing at that time. If there's no further business, we are open for questions.
The Meadowlark project, what is the expected cost there and how many turbines?
The Meadowlark project, I don't know if I have that in this paperwork. It was in the letter of intent. Chris or Jerry, do you have that handy? It's a 102 megawatt project, so my guess is what's that?
$180 million.
How many turbines approximately?
63.
63 turbines? Yep. Okay. And the Elite, the Bison 3, is 105 megawatts, 157 million. Do you know how many turbines, please?
It's 35 3.0 megawatt turbines, generating capacity of 105 megawatts.
Have we had three-megawatt turbines put up before in North Dakota?
We have. These are the same ones that are being used in Bison 2, I believe. And outside of that, have we had 3.0s?
Just Bison 1B, the second half of Bison 1.
Oh, that's
1,
right.
They converted halfway through.
That's right.
That project.
But outside of Bison, are there any 3.0s? I
no.
don't remember.
Do you know who manufactures them?
Suzlon, I think. Let me see.
Is it the same?
No, I'm sorry. It's Siemens.
Okay. Siemens, yeah.
And Oliver 3, it's 48 megawatts, 30 turbines, $81 million, if I'm reading.
48 megawatts, 30 wind turbines, and $81 million. Yep.
Okay, and Wilton 4 is 99 megawatts, 62 turbines, $165 million.
That is correct.
Okay.
One of the things you'll notice by that math, Dale, as you do all that math, you'll see that the price per megawatt is pretty consistent among those three. Now, they're all sort of, they all take advantage of existing transmission infrastructure, footprints near existing projects. So, but the price of these projects is somewhere between, near as I can tell anyway, 1.5 to 1.6 million per megawatt, which is pretty consistent with the going price these days.
Yeah, you have a couple of things coming together. One is the PTC of, well, probably three big things. One is renewable portfolio standards, which are really driving the development of wind throughout the country. Two is the production tax credit, which is scheduled to expire at the end of 2012. But three is very low cost of capital right now. So it's a cheap time for utilities to borrow capital to build these projects.
North Dakota, I mean, you mentioned that the renewable portfolio standards are driving this development, and North Dakota really doesn't have renewable portfolio standards. What do you think about that?
Well, I've always said that to a degree in North Dakota, a renewable portfolio standard would be a bit of an artificial target anyway, because whatever you set it at, our load is so small relative to the wind resources here that it's kind of an accounting measure of how you would actually meet it. So really, the issue is renewable portfolio standards in other states around the region and in other states around the country that's driving it. North Dakota having an RPS or not having an RPS would have very little impact on development within the state in the larger scheme of things.
I guess what I was getting at is that there's been a lot of opposition to renewable portfolio standards as far as they're compulsory, and it's interesting that North Dakota, I'm thinking specifically of the legislature and to a lesser extent the Public Service Commission, doesn't like the idea of compulsory renewable portfolio standards, but at the same time, according to what you mentioned, we're benefiting from them.
There's no doubt we do benefit from other states implementing renewable portfolio standards, and then North Dakota has the best wind resource in the country, so wind gets built here. As a public policy matter, I've always expressed a bit of concern about legislatively mandated portfolio standards, regardless of what the generation source is, because I think it assumes that inherently political bodies like legislatures have the ability to know exactly what the right fuel mix is, and I think that that's a false assumption. I would rather have, personally, utilities working in concert with their regulators, their accountants, their finance people, and their engineers designing systems that deliver power reliably and at the most affordable cost. Having said that, they're clearly very popular in a lot of states, and North Dakota has a commercial product to provide those states that wish to implement them.
And Dale, to the degree that public policy in a place like Minnesota creates a mandate or a standard, and it is reflective of their constituency, then I suppose you could suggest at least that there's some market demand for it. And if they want to do that and we're capable of building it and sending it to them, that's fine. But when those same mandates start imposing costs on North Dakota ratepayers, then it's incumbent upon us as economic regulators to ensure that those mandates don't become a cost to our ratepayers. Having said all of that, Huffington Post reported last year that North Dakota is one of only four states that generates 10% or more of its electricity using renewable resources. So I think it's interesting. The other three being South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa. So that's a reflection, I think, of certainly of the supply more than the demand.
I'm making a note of you quoting the Huffington Post.
Well, it was intriguing to me as well. I do like to throw it out there once in a while for people that think we're not green enough.
Anything from the latest issue of the New Republic that you'd like to?
Would you like to quote the Nation or
Newsweek?
Yeah, Mother Jones, perhaps. As far as the status of these projects, Bison 3, if I understood you correctly, is ready to go. They have their construction permit.
Bison 3 has its final permit. They will begin roadwork and sort of other groundwork this fall, but major construction won't begin until the spring. Bison 1 is nearing completion. Bison 2 is a little bit further along in construction than 3, but the intent is to have them all built out by the end of next year.
I think they testified in the hearing that they were hoping to get some synergies between Bison 2 and Bison 3 construction, so they were going to start some of the Bison 3 projects construction this fall with things on 2.
And the others, Meadowlark, you have the hearing set, Oliver Wind 3, and Wilton Wind 4. You have a letter of intent, but you don't have a hearing date yet.
That's correct, and we don't have complete applications filed yet.
Okay, and the interesting one of the – are all of these – can you say that all of these projects are going to eventually put their energy on the D.C. line?
No, the Wilton – I have to get them straight. The Burley one, which is Wilton, is to the WAPA system. The Bison Minnesota Power projects are related to the DC line, and their 230 kV AC transmission line is related to the DC line as well. The Oliver project, Oliver 3, doesn't indicate if it's going to go on the DC line, and I don't know that we know exactly what the outlet for that is, other than they say that they'll be selling it into the MISO market. Whether that be via the DC line or some other mechanism,
a spec project? Do they have a customer?
They don't indicate that they have a customer.
Okay. And isn't it true to say that the Bison project, the power for that is destined for the DC line?
That is destined for the DC line, and it's destined for use by Minnesota Power to meet its mandates in the state of Minnesota.
So, what do you mean? You mentioned the factors that you think are driving this particular burst of activity. Which do you think is the most important? Is it the expiration of the production tax credit? Is it the cheapness of capital, or is it something else?
Oh, I think it's probably a combination of the expiration of the PTC, PTC and the renewable portfolio standard. Now, having said that, I think these projects would still probably be getting built even without the PTC. Because it's at the end of the day, it's the renewable portfolio standard that requires it. I think what it may be doing is speeding up the construction of some of these projects because they want to get them done so that they can capture that credit. But it's very clear that it's the renewable portfolio standards that are driving it. Because if you're a utility looking to expand your production right now, your real choices, economically, are wind versus gas. And gas with current prices is very competitive. The production tax credit helps, but gas doesn't qualify for an RPS.
Yeah, I would say in the case of Minnesota Power, it's especially obvious that they have a mandate they have to meet. They have an asset in the DC line that gets the power to where they need to get it. They are able to take advantage of the economics of cheaper labor and cheaper money and even lower cost of materials to build it. But the PTC and the pending expiration of the production tax credit has always created a sense of urgency in this type of development. So as much as anything, I think Tony's right, it's the timing that is driven as much as anything by the PTC. It is the mandate in Minnesota that drives the need for the investment in the first place.
I guess the question becomes, I think you answered it, the timing is due to the PDC, but you believe that this would be happening
right
anyway, perhaps more spread out.
I think it's a matter of the expedited schedule is related to the PTC, but the demand is definitely an RPS issue.
How many more of these do you see coming forward in the next few months? By these, I mean wind projects of this nature.
I think it depends a lot on what the cost of capital is, how the production tax credit, if that's extended. I think that'll drive the future growth. But how many? I think that we're kind of the wave right now, and we'll have to be a wait-and-see mode until after the first of the year would be my guess.
I think that this group processes most of those that we have kind of had our eye on.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Tony. I think this group is sort of the hub of that. But, you know, Senator Franken has an interesting bill in because, and I think it sort of signals that the extension of the production tax credit in any sort of large way is becoming less likely given the politics and the economics of our country. But Senator Franken has a bill in to extend the production tax credit only for projects of 20 megawatts or smaller that are sort of community-driven. I don't know if he thinks there'll be more political appeal for something like that. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I do think that specific of a PTC extension signals that it's less likely that the broader PTC would be extended past next year.
I'm still a little unclear about the transmission line extension. How does that figure into the broader picture here in terms of how gets power gets moved where?
Right. ALLETE is setting up a subsidiary called ALLETE Clean Energy, which is a more market-oriented subsidiary. So it's not for their regulated side. It'd be for non-regulated activities to sell renewable energy into the market so that other utilities could meet their renewable portfolio standards in other states. And the extension of that line will give access to future projects that might be developed by ALLETE's new subsidiary or other companies that want to develop projects in that area and then interconnect with it. So what it does is it's like a radial line that provides a tie into that Square Butte substation where it's then converted to DC and shift east.
And do you have any idea, based upon the location of the line, where this future development will take place?
It's very much in that same general area of Morton and Oliver counties.
Why is Kevin Cramer chuckling?
Well, because that's the question I think we've all been sort of asking, and I think when I said earlier that the announcement that ALLETE is forming an independent power producer helps clarify some of their long-term plans with that asset, because that DC line has capacity or will have capacity to take about 550 megawatts. And obviously, as Tony pointed out earlier, the three Bison projects only add up to about 300 megawatts. Now, we still have a letter of intent for an additional 125 as part of ALLETE's filings. But the question I would have is, beyond just the wind development, is what happens with that DC line the other 60 or 70% of the time when the wind isn't blowing at full capacity? And so what other fuel choices might there be? It just creates an opportunity, if you will, for even greater development in that region.
So is it correct to say that what your speculation is, basically, that because they have formed this new company, that they intend to use that company as a vehicle to sell space on their DC line?
Well, perhaps, but it might also provide an opportunity for them to generate more power and sell it into the market. So they could be using their own DC line, but they become an independent power producer selling as a merchant into the marketplace if they determine that there's a market for that.
Okay,
so
there
could be a couple of ways that they would take advantage of it.
So they would not only be selling space on their line perhaps to others, but they would be generating more power than they need to serve their own customers for the purpose of selling it.
That's correct.
Okay.
I have one other question on another subject. Will the commission be participating in tomorrow's hearing on the ambient air quality standards, the haze issue that EPA is doing?
Not officially. We haven't discussed that. I, suppose we may have someone from staff or one of the commissioners.
I plan on wandering down there and listening to the whole portion of it, but we're not going to, I don't think, wait at this point.
I was asked to at least to be prepared to testify related to rates, so it's unclear for sure whether I will or not, but I'll be prepared to.
And what would you, what would your testimony be?
My testimony, Dale, would be specific to the importance of North Dakota's position in the global marketplace for investment as a result of the fact we have the lowest electricity rates, retail electricity rates in the country, and that at a time when we're driving more industry and manufacturing, especially with big users of electricity overseas and out of our country, this is not the time to be implementing policies that will actually raise electric rates. The fact of the matter is that North Dakota has bucked the national trend, not just in energy investment, but we've bucked the national trend in manufacturing investment and jobs growth. And I think a big part of that is because we keep our energy costs low. So while the regional haze issue, and especially the relation to the SIP and EPA's taking over those two plants is unique or specific to the co-ops, there's the larger issue, I think, of rates and how they play into the larger economy. So that's what I would be testifying to.
Well, also the fact, too, that, and that would not our expertise area, I suppose, but our air here is cleaner than the air in California, cleaner than the air in the East Coast. So the fact that not only the points Kevin brought out is we have need all the quality, required air quality measures and water quality measures. So it's just so wrong on so many levels what the EPA is doing now.
Kevin, you were at the North Dakota Petroleum Council meeting, were you not?
I was.
Did you, when you went, like, and looked around outside
yes.
in Medora,
yes.
did you think that regional haze was a big problem?
Well, not only do I not think, and not only have I observed that regional haze is not a big problem in North Dakota, it's less of a problem west of the power plants because, of course, you're going upstream against the prevailing winds. Well, one thing about wind development in North Dakota, and as I told the group of European journalists the other day, if you travel around North Dakota and you're not convinced that regional haze should not be a problem for Theodore Roosevelt National Park, just look at the juxtaposition of every wind turbine in the state. They're all placed in way and on ridges that take advantage of the prevailing northwest wind. No, regional haze is not a problem in North Dakota. Regional haze really isn't a problem anywhere in the state, and frankly, regional haze isn't that big of a problem even when there is some regional haze because, of course, it's not a health risk of any type. The technology that the EPA is requiring that has created this mess in the first place, not only has it not been proven to work with lignite, but the one experiment they did with lignite, it proved that it didn't work in terms of creating a view shed, if you will, that is clearer than it was previous to the technology. So, no, I didn't see a problem in Medora.
All right. Any other questions? Hearing none, we will close the meeting and be back at 10:45 for the administrative portion of the agenda. Thanks.